Hi, and welcome to Make Good, the podcast about yarn and knitting from Scratch Supply Co. We're recording today in downtown Lebanon, New Hampshire, and we're really excited to be here. I'm Karen.
And I'm Jessica.
We're going to talk about different styles of knitting today.
After last week's coffee talk, where we just kind of rambled at you for a while, this week we're going to teach you something.
I mean, maybe.
I'm feeling pretty confident because I learned a lot while I was researching this.
Okay. So if you are a knitter in the United States and other parts of the world, but specifically I'm thinking of the United States, the two styles of knitting that you're probably familiar with are picking and throwing.
Right. I think that most of us here in the States learn from people we know or at a shop, and it's either picking or throwing, continental or English style, and you might not know which one of those terms means picking or throwing. It can be confusing. I definitely didn't when I first started knitting.
Oh, I still second guess myself all the time. I'll be talking to somebody and they'll ask, do you knit continental? And I'll blank on which is which. And I'll just be like, I'm a thrower. Panic. Full on panic.
I don't share the feelings of panic, but I definitely had many years of uncertainty. But that was because nobody taught me how to knit. I learned from a pamphlet. And the pamphlet, I have no recollection of it having specific language about which style it was teaching me. It was just telling me things to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But guess what? We're going to tell you today about many different options that you have as a knitter.
Okay, so let's start with continental, which is picking. You may also hear it called German or European style.
Yes. So when you are a continental knitter, you are holding your yarn in your left hand and you're maintaining even tension between your needle and your left index finger. And you're going to be picking the stitches with a kind of small controlled movement. So your right needle that's actually creating the new stitches picks little loops. It's generally thought of as a fast way to knit. Faster than throwers, because it's kind of energy efficient. You're making very small motions, and some people, you know, cruise along at comfortable speeds, but really fast knitters oftentimes are continental knitters. It's a popular technique in Europe and also just fast people all around the world.
I think our fastest knitter who knits here at the store is a continental style knitter.
Yeah. And I think she specifically taught herself to knit continental style because she wanted to be a fast knitter.
Yes.
I can tell you, I have dabbled in continental knitting. And because there's a learning curve transitioning from other styles of knitting, I am a slow continental knitter.
Right. I knit a whole sweater continental and it worked. But yeah, same thing. I was doing it because I wanted it to go fast and because I was like recreating muscle memory. I was like making new muscle memory. It went infuriatingly slowly. And I only ever really knit that one sweater that way. Although I am one of those people who does it with color work.
Mm-hmm. It's a handy trick to have if you are a different style of knitter, but you like to knit color work. Having that kind of dexterity in both hands will benefit you when you're working with more than one color of yarn.
For me, I find that my gauge is very different between picking and throwing. And so when I do color work and I'm holding, usually it's the contrast color in my left hand and the main color in my right hand, assuming it's only two color work, it gets a little iffier with three colors or more colors. It works really well for my tension because it keeps my contrast stitches from becoming too tight because I can't control my gauge at all with my left hand. I'm just kind of, there's just a loop, which works out great.
So as an aside, in the show notes for this week's episode, we are going to be sharing lots of links to videos of people practicing these different techniques because it's maybe going to be difficult to visualize what we're talking about because this is such a hands-on thing. So there's definitely going to be a video about how to knit continental.
Okay. We run into this problem in class when we're teaching sometimes, right? We'll have somebody who comes in to do like a more advanced technique class, but they are continental knitters. And so if you're trying to explain the technique to them, but you are an English style knitter, you have to like reconfigure your brain, or I have to reconfigure my brain anyway, to be able to like translate what they have to do the more advanced technique. So purling, can we talk about purling?
Yes. So continental knitters purl how they purl, but some continental knitters practice something called a Norwegian purl, which not everyone does. And Norwegian purling, this is going to blow your mind, friends. You keep the yarn to the backside of your knitting.
Fake.
When you purl.
Impossible. Fake.
Very possible. Kind of shocking. A little disorienting.
Wizardry.
Yes. Absolutely wizardry. Yeah. So we posted a video for that too. It helps with speed, I think, because you're not transferring your yarn from the front of your work to the back of your work repeatedly throughout your knitting, especially if you're doing ribbing or some other stitch where there's lots of texture. You just get to hold your yarn in one place and kind of adjust how you're moving your hands.
If you are doing 1-1 rib or moss stitch or something where you're switching between a lot of the time that you're spending is actually just moving your hand, moving the yarn. I can see where that would be faster. I feel confused about what's happening instead.
Go watch the video. Anyways, moving along. The other option, if you are not a picker, is you are probably a thrower, which is English-style knitting, and that's how both of us knit.
Right.
It's also called American-style knitting because it's pretty common here. So if you are a thrower, you are holding your yarn in your right hand, and it is tensioned by your right index finger and wrapped around the right needle to make your stitches. And when you're doing this, you actually move your hand and your arm to make this wrapping motion. Some of us are subtle throwers, and some of us are dramatic throwers, like full-on chicken wing, like there is dramatic dropping of the needle, like you're stirring a pot of soup.
Got soup.
Big, broad gestures. And the next time you are in a group of knitters somewhere, just watch their hands and take quiet note of all of the variation in styles of how we do these things. But it's really interesting because I think part of that is just personal dexterity, and part of it is how we learn to knit from others, what we see modeled for us. So it's pretty interesting.
I am definitely one of those people that I fully let go of my knitting with my right hand. I don't really know, like, it doesn't go anywhere, it's attached. But I don't know how I got to that place as a person of, like, trusting that it wouldn't go anywhere. But I do. I fully let go and, like, loop. More loops. Crazy loops.
Yes.
We get the right-handed, left-handed person thing in the store not infrequently.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you will have somebody who's come in and they have been taught by somebody that because they are left-handed, they need to do whatever, English style, American style, but backwards so that they are using their dominant hand to throw.
I tell people not to knit backwards.
Right, because you have to do everything backwards at that point. You are Ginger Rogersing your way through this whole business.
Right. The way I feel about knitting is that whether you are a picker or a thrower, both hands have a job. And the way patterns are written is kind of universal. The construction of fabric is directional. So much like when you learn to read in whatever language you learn to read in, you know that you're reading from point A to point B on the page to have it make sense. Knitting patterns work the same way. And if you're making your hands do the opposite thing, like if you're mirroring that, that means you need to mirror all of your instruction instead of just telling your hands, you both have a job. This is your job right hand. This is your job left hand.
I would suggest that maybe if you are a left-handed person or you're teaching a left-handed person and it's just not comfortable, maybe continental style, or this also applies to people who come to knitting from crochet, because in crochet, your left hand is tensioning your yarn. It's a very natural transition. That may be something to play around with. Although that being said, when you're learning a new skill, you're going to be awkward anyway. No one knows how to use the utensils until they know how to use the utensils. It's all just a muscle memory thing.
Mm-hmm. This all takes practice.
Okay, what about less common types of knitting?
Okay, so there are other styles besides picking and throwing, and they're kind of all related, but some of these might be new to you. They were definitely new to me. So I recently learned about something called flicking, also known as lever knitting, and sometimes you will see this referred to as Peruvian knitting, Catholic knitting, Australian knitting, or Irish cottage knitting, which just sounds very cozy to me.
Yes, that mm-hmm. might be my favorite one of that list.
So when you are flicking, your yarn is held in your dominant hand and you loop the yarn around your right needle without removing your hand completely.
Okay.
It's similar to throwing, except your hands are always in contact with the needles. So it's like, imagine taking your finger and just with your index finger, flicking a piece of popcorn across the table.
Sure. Every day I do this.
Yep. Just flick.
Jessica just hit her finger on the table really hard.
I did do that. It's for all of you. So, you know, I'm committed to knowing how these things work. So when you're doing this, your hand is sort of engaging in a rocking lever motion, which is why it's also called lever knitting, or lever, if you're fancy. So a lot of flickers hold the needle, the right needle, in your right hand needle, like a pencil. So more utensil shenanigans.
Mm.
Instead of holding it like a knitting needle, I'm holding a pen. You can't see me doing this, but I'm holding a pen like a knitting needle, I think. But now I don't know how to hold knitting needles.
Right.
Okay, and now I'm holding this pen like a pencil. I want you all to find a writing utensil and pick it up with your right hand.
Hold on. You're holding this pen like a pencil. Yep, okay.
I'm with you. We're going to learn something today.
Laughing time is over.
So you hold it like a pen or a pencil.
Sure.
And then your index finger kind of flicks along the top of it.
Oh.
It's flicking. And in the process, you are pulling the yarn around that right needle. It sounds kind of wild. But when you see it happen by someone who knows how to do it, very intriguing.
The motion you just made is mm-hmm. very different from what I was picturing when you were describing it. Because what I was picturing was cartoon chickens.
Cartoon chickens, huh?
We've talked about this before.
I don't know if we have on the podcast.
I have tried to Google this, and it's possible that I am inventing cartoon chickens knitting.
Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
I want to say like Looney Tunes, that era of cartoon.
Like old Warner Brothers.
Yeah. There were always, I'm going to say always, probably happened once, possibly never. There would be like two or three chickens sitting in a chicken coop or on a fence or something, and they'd be like cluck, 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 chatting with each other, and they would be knitting. Yeah, with their little chicken wings, and they would be holding the knitting needles like pens or pencils. They would be holding them point down,
mm-hmm.
of course, constructing a scarf at ludicrous speed. Anyway, now I think I understand. I never understood why the chickens didn't know how to knit. But they did.
Well, apparently they do, and they're Irish cottage knitters. And I'll have you know that Irish cottage knitting or flicking or lever knitting is a fast alternative to continental knitting, which is already fast. So flickers are even faster.
So legitimately constructing scarves at ludicrous speed.
And not ludicrous because it's chicken constructing it, just because it's wicked fast. But wait, friends. There are more less common knitting styles. Shall we dive into combination knitting?
Oh, let's do it.
So combination knitting is where I struggle, clearly. You might know this about me. So we're going to use stockinette fabric as our reference point here. So there is a knit side and a purl side. In combination knitting, your purl stitches are worked by wrapping your stitches opposite direction.
Okay.
And this makes your knit stitches twisted. And when you work the knit side of your fabric, you have to knit through the back loop to untwist them. It's fast. It apparently is very fast. I have zero times attempted this because I struggle to wrap my brain around it. I've even watched the videos, and I think I would need a person to teach me in person how to do this. But we have what I think is a good video in the show notes, and I just need live interaction to help me figure out how to actually do it.
So when I first learned to knit, I wrapped my purl stitches the opposite direction because my mom wraps her purl stitches the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Which runs in families, apparently.
Well, because she was the one that taught me.
I know.
But we never figured this out until like a year ago when she was trying to do brioche and mm-hmm. was really struggling with brioche. And it was because half of her stitches were twisted and then on the other side, she wasn't untwisting them because she wasn't twisting them on purpose.
Right. So interesting.
Yeah. So adding in the untwisting, like if I had understood that this was a technique, we could have tried that and it would have really made the whole project go more smoothly.
Yes. other exciting knitting options. Portuguese knitting, which is alternately called Incan knitting, Andean knitting, or Turkish knitting, and it's practiced all over the world. So Portuguese knitting is historically, traditionally, the process of taking your yarn and instead of tensioning it with either your right or your left hand, your yarn is kind of draped around your neck. It's like having a scarf.
Sure.
Hanging around the back of your neck. No, like, additional wraps, just hanging there. So it keeps tension that way, draped over your neck, and it frees up your hands for greater speed. I have not tried this. I worry that I would be a floppy Portuguese knitter because I haven't had experience with the mechanics of it. But I have seen videos of it, and people move pretty quick.
Yeah. I have kind of the same feeling because when I am throwing, I do wild, wrappy things with my right hand. The yarn is like figure eight loop-de-looped all over things, and one loop feels like it wouldn't do it for me.
It would be a practice in learning to let go all of that hand tension. And as an aside, Portuguese knitting is really good at helping to reduce joint pain because your hands aren't being used to tension the yarn.
Oh,
so your
awesome.
Hands just get to kind of relax and move the yarn, but you're not clenching the yarn.
Right. You're not creating tension to create tension. That makes sense.
You might be more familiar with Portuguese knitting being practiced with a Portuguese knitting pin or a brooch or a necklace, where there's some sort of piece that's coiled that's attached to you or hangs on a pendant, and your yarn runs through that coil, and that keeps the tension rather than having it looped around the back of your neck. And I know that there are lots of teachers who teach that way. It was new to me to learn that people historically and still do today just loop it around your neck, which is handy because you might not have your knitting pin with you, but you do have your neck with you.
I mean, we hope.
You're ready to go.
Those chickens, their necks and their feathers and the whole thing, like they...
That's why they're flickers, Karen.
Okay. So what about Shetland knitting, which I already have a little fear about?
Okay. You should. I think I do too. So Shetland knitting, we're going to just go out on a limb and say it's the fastest knitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's also called pit knitting. I don't know why.
I know why.
Why?
It's because if you are an adrenaline junkie that throws yourself into mosh pits, this is your knitting style because you are going to fly.
Ah. Yeah, it's for people who like to knit on the edge. It's also called Scottish knitting, also from the hip, and old way knitting.
Yeah, all of this makes me feel like this is something people get like inducted into and then they understand the old way. But it's like, it's wizardry and sorcery all the way, the whole time.
Right. Like you go into the woods somewhere to learn this.
Right.
You're taught by the trees. Shetland knitting uses very long needles and may or may not employ a knitting belt.
Oh, those knitting belts are really cool.
Mm-hmm. They have notches or kind of like a hole in them to anchor your very long needle.
They kind of look like a pin cushion almost. They'll have like a leather. It's like a leather-wrapped flat pincushion with little holes in just the leather part so the end of the needle can sit in the hole. And it'll have a bunch of them so you can like adjust where you want it to. But it'll like sit in the hole and not slip, but also not stab you in the side.
Mm, that's handy. That's important.
Right.
So your needle is held very close to your body. The belt helps you with this if you're wearing one. And it allows you to easily knit while standing. So you can multitask, because why just sit and enjoy your knitting when you could knit and make a pot of soup?
Got soup.
Listen, Netflix hasn't been around forever.
I guess. That's fair. That's fair. But you could go on a walk while you're knitting, or... I think the intention was to, like, do the washing or tend animals or children or any number of other million duties people might have. So we have posted some fun videos for Shetland knitting. One of them is a video about knitters who knit over
200 stitches per minute.
That's fake. That's fake. That makes me uncomfortable. That's too many stitches in not enough time.
I'm lucky I can tie my shoes in a minute.
Right, right. I'm just thinking, like, a scarf is, I don't know, depending on the weight and whatever. Let's just say it's like 50 stitches across. You're doing 4 rows in a minute.
No, I'm not. Under zero circumstances.
15 seconds a row.
Oof. That's amazing. So the other video that we've posted is, I didn't do enough homework because I don't know what CWA stands for, but it's the CWA knitting competition from 1971.
Chickens with all the knowledge accessories about knitting.
So these ladies who are competing in 1971 are all of the early 1970s glorious that you want them to be. And they're in black and white and they are clicking away. Please listen to this video. Watch it with the sound on so you can hear their needles in action. As an aside, if you want to see many types of knitting shown in one place, I would strongly recommend you go check out Dank Fiber's Instagram. Dank Fiber is Selena, who is one half of the design team Wool and Pine, and she posts a lot of great videos of her hands knitting. She's very fast, but I think it was one of her videos where I first encountered flicking, even though she's generally a continental knitter. She likes to mix it up and educate the fiber community. So go follow her and watch her videos.
So that's very cool. And I feel like, so as we've been going through these, right, you and I both are a little bit like, sounds fake, seems impossible, whatever. First of all, knitting is impossible. It's string and sticks, and then it's a sock. It is totally worth experimenting with all of these different techniques. And you may find that whatever technique you already do is genuinely your favorite one and not just your currently most comfortable one. It's almost certainly currently your most comfortable one. It's worth trying the others, though.
For sure, you might definitely surprise yourself and say, wow, I was destined to be a fast knitter. I've been holding myself back by throwing very slowly all these years.
You are the 15-second scarf row champion.
I mean, some people like to have goals. And that goal is just as admirable as any other goal. If you're a fast knitter, like that kind of fast knitter, you should definitely make a video of it and tag us so we can see it, because wow, amazing.
Right. It's so cool.
And also, if you don't care about being a fast knitter, I'm on your team too.
Right.
I am not a fast knitter and I'm cool with that. We make the things that we make at the speed we make them, and it's all good because we just love knitting.
So Jessica, what's on your needles right now?
Nothing new. Still working on my cinnabar. And I'm enjoying it. And I think I'm close to the border. So maybe by next week, I will have a different project. But I don't have anything exciting to say about it today. It's just a lot of garter and a lot of brioche, which is lovely. It's good Netflix knitting because I can.
Yeah.
What's on your needles, Karen?
So kind of same. Still my Gresham wrap. Some of it is that I'm holding off because of something we're going to talk about in a minute. And some of it is that I've had an entirely non-knitting project going on because I've been putting together the shop solstice boxes.
It's so much. It's so many amazing, amazing, beautiful pieces of things.
Right. So we had, I just want to talk about it because I'm so excited about them. We had Tara Mitchell from Mitchell's Creations, Doug Lopez from Knit and Bro, and Nikki Corder from Forest Fiber Arts do mini skeins for us. And then Jen Peck, who did the Sisterhood set, designed a pattern, especially for their yarn. And we put a bunch of other good stuff in it because I just kind of can't help myself. But right now it's a little bit of a logistical, like, bags and boxes and piles of stuff everywhere.
Oh, it's so exciting. This is going to be the best solstice season ever.
Yes. The idea is one mini skein every day between December 1st and December 21st. I think by the time this airs, they will be about to ship. We definitely still have some, though, if you're interested. I will fess up that the most recent time I ordered like a solstice advent calendar kind of thing, I totally ripped into all the yarn right away. I did not do the thing at all.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
You get to be the boss of your own presents.
That's right. It's just a bunch of presents for you.
And you know what? I think even though I already know everything that's in them, because it's our box, I want one. And I'm definitely not going to get a chance to start doing it until well after solstice arrives.
Oh, right.
And I feel zero care about that. Because new yarn is good anytime. It doesn't matter. So don't feel beholden to dates for anything.
Right. Except very much our ship date, which is why I have not been knitting, because I cannot let a ship date pass us by.
No, I don't mean you care and don't feel beholden. I just mean like people who get to have new yarn. You can just have it whenever it feels right.
Oh, sure. Hey, Jessica.
Yes, Karen.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
I have a letter for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this letter comes from Kate.
Hi, Kate.
I have a hank of indie-dyed wool arriving in a few days from a favorite dyer. The wool is superwash, and your recent podcast episode got me thinking, should I combine superwash and non-superwash yarn in a pattern? I was thinking that this particular hank would be a great base for Andrea Mowry's shift cowl, but I got nervous to go stash diving where I have a variety of mystery yarns.
That's a good question, Kate. My advice is do it.
Shockingly.
Yeah, who am I to impose rules on people? Except swatching, you have to swatch and you have to block. Except when you don't, because I don't do those things sometimes either. But I try to encourage you to have good habits. Anyways, Kate, I think that's totally fine. There are lots of patterns that are written for combining bases that have different care instructions. And when we're talking about superwash and non-superwash yarn, that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. I guess there are two things to consider. There's one, texture. So do you like the smooth feel of your superwash yarn combined with maybe a more rustic, natural, untreated wool? And if you do, great, big green light for you. And then it's just remembering that that cowl or whatever project you're making is has non-superwash yarn in it so that you don't decide to throw it in your washing machine on high heat with a bunch of towels or something and shrink it down to a pot holder. That's your rule of thumb. When you're combining different types of fiber in a project, whether it's like wool and alpaca or superwash and non-superwash yarn, the most delicate care fiber is how that finished project needs to be cared for. So I say if you've got skeins that are right for this project, put them together, make something beautiful.
That'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that are exciting,
mm-hmm.
Let's do another knit along.
Yes, it's about time.
What should we make?
Oh, I know what we're making. Except not really, because it's kind of up to you all. We're going to do a sock knit along.
Oh, good.
So we've thought long about this, and we've done some pretty big projects this year. We knit a penguono together. People chose from the collection of sorrel patterns. And then we did our Jessie Made along, where people got to pick anything from Jessie May's pattern catalog and kind of overwhelmingly loved that level of choice. But heading into the early part of winter, we know that things are really busy for people. Some of you might be gift knitting, and you've just got a lot on your plate. So we thought instead of a different sweater or giant shawl or something, it's sock season.
Definitely.
We want something cozy, and that could be just for you, or it could go into your gift knitting pile. But there are no rules other than their socks.
So there is a superstition, not really a superstition, just like a thing, where they say that the way you start the new year is how you will spend your year. And mm-hmm. I would like to say, let's all start it in hand-knit socks so we can be cozy all year.
That sounds amazing. So if you have never knit a pair of socks before, we encourage you to cast on a pair and give it a shot. If you are a seasoned sock knitter, maybe you want to try a style or a technique or a direction that you haven't knit socks in before. If you don't want to do any of those things and you have your one sock pattern that you are pair bonded with and that's all you ever want to make, make more of those. We want you to be happy. Your socks could be knit with fingering weight or worsted weight or bulky.
Yeah.
They're all socks.
I got self-striping yarn. I'm going to do self-striping socks.
I'm excited that you have picked.
Yeah.
I am overwhelmed by choice.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I might start with some worsted weight house socks, though.
Ooh.
Just so I can knit them fast and have warm feet in the house as it gets colder.
Yeah, it's happening fast.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's up to you. I think that maybe this week we will put up a list of suggested patterns, maybe in one of our grid posts on Instagram, because if you are a listener from before today's episode, you know that all of our knit-alongs take place on Instagram. And the hashtag that we're going to be using for this one is make good socks.
Which, I love that.
Yeah, it just kind of says it all. Like, it's our sock ethos. Just make good socks.
And so for these patterns, they are just ideas. So they are very much just like if you've never knit socks before and kind of don't know where to start, or you've only knit worsted weight socks and don't know where to start with fingering weight, or you have your one pair bonded pattern and you are looking for inspiration to try something new. But there are, I'm going to say conservatively, 18 million sock patterns out there.
Probably.
Yeah. So like lots of choice.
Do whatever you want. Our cast on date for our final knit along of the year is Sunday, November 7th. We are going to go live on our Instagram at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Instagram does this new thing where you can schedule lives, and I don't know how it works, but we're all going to find out together on November 7th.
Join us on this journey. And I have a question. Is it daylight savings time on Sunday?
Oh.
If it is, make sure that you join us at the correct 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will try to do the same.
Oh, we've added a level of challenge to this that I was not anticipating.
Well, we thought the knit-along would be so easy breezy with doing whatever you wanted with whatever pattern and whatever yarn. We had to spice it up a little bit.
Right. It's really all about our ability to function in space and time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 4:30, Sunday the 7th.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yes. On the Make Good Pod Instagram, we will be live. You should join us. If you have pattern ideas or yarn with you, make sure that you know what they are so you can tell us in the comments, because we would like to chat with you. It will be fun.
I think that might be it for us this week.
It sure is.
You can follow us on Instagram at Make Good Pod. It's where some things are going to happen.
It's where many of the things happen around here. You are listening to us somewhere right now. It might be in your podcast thing of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you hear us, that's great. You should rate and review us because it helps other knitters find us, and tell your friends too. You could also listen to us streaming on our website, which is makegoodpod.com.
All of the show notes and stuff are right there too. So if you don't like looking at them in your little podcast thing, you can look at them on a big web thing. Unless you're on your phone, in which case it's the same thing.
Let's see. What else? You should send us emails. You can email us at dearscratch@scratchsupplyco.com or through the contact form on our website, makegoodpod.com. And we have a Patreon. It's how we bring you new episodes every single week, and we don't use advertising. So if you want to support us, that's awesome. We love you. And if you don't want to financially support us, that's okay. We love you too. Keep listening. And yeah, it's good. Sometimes we put extra special content there, so it might be worth checking out.
Bye.